Well, today is October the 23rd, 2023. And for our responsive reading here this morning, we went to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to 19. So if you have a Bible, please get it and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 12 to, excuse me, verses 12 to 19. Excuse me. Notice verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. You no longer hear the word naughty. I remember growing up, and if a child was acting unruly, or a child was doing something that was not pleasing, either in the eyes of his or her parents or the teacher, you were called or you were accused of being very naughty. You don't hear that today. We can't afford to offend anyone. You might break their tender heart. But in the Authorized Version, God is not concerned about breaking someone's heart. He's in the business of giving new hearts, because the one that we were born with is 100% totally defective. Also, the word wicked, you don't hear that word used too often today. The modern day church has kind of varnished and polished some of these old antiquated terms and words that you might find in the Authorized Version, all words that were used maybe when we were kids. Okay. Several decades in the past. Also, you don't hear the term froward, a froward mouth. Froward is an old English word that basically means lying tongue, or a lying lip. And so verses 12 to verses 6, verse 15 is, you have the overarching umbrella. We're going to be looking at a naughty person, or what the Bible calls a wicked man, or an individual who knows how to spread lies from their lips like you would put butter, lather up a piece of toast and just spread the butter, or with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, just be very liberal in spreading that peanut butter to every edge of that slice of bread. That is what a naughty person or a wicked person. Well, let's look at this person. Number one, he winks with his eyes. Okay. Secondly, he speaks with his feet and he teaches with his fingers. Maybe he's a little bit animated in order to stress his points. Nothing wrong in being animated. Nothing wrong in having hand gestures or moving in a certain way, maybe around a podium or around a pulpit. Nothing in and of itself is evil. But this is an individual that does all of that in verse 13, but he's doing it within the context of being very naughty, very wicked, and lips that find it very hard to tell the truth. What else do we find? Frowardness is in his heart. So verse 14a, if you look at it, verses 14a is actually the root of the problem. Why is he naughty? Why is he wicked? Why does he lie? Not because of his parents, not because of some defect in his DNA, not because of the school where he may have went to or she may have went to. It doesn't matter what kind of playground. Was it a playground there in the hood, or was it a playground that was built in some affluent part of town where everybody lives in beautiful homes and they hide behind their gated community? That's not the issue. We're talking about something on the inside, the root of the problem, as the Puritans would say, the root of the matter. The fact is that when he came out of his mother's womb, he already had a lying heart. He already had a depraved nature. He already had a bent away from God and not to God. Look at verse 14. He deviseth mischief, not just occasionally. He has more good days than bad days. No, your Bible says he's always devising evil. He's always plotting and scheming continually he soweth discord. And I look at verses 14, and I see President Joe Biden. I see Madam Pelosi. I see Chuck Schumer. I see Congress. I see most of the rank and file of politicians who make the laws, who make the rules that either benefit our life or damn our life. Read on. Therefore shall his or her calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. So verses 12 to 15, I believe, you can put over the door of most politicians in Congress, most politicians in every state legislature. Most, you can take these same words and put it over City Hall, put it over the Supreme Court. And unfortunately, you can probably put it over many homes today. And then finally, verses 16 to 19, you know, we always hear people talk about the love of God, right? The mercy of God, the grace of God, the forbearance of God, the patience of God. But you seldom hear anybody from the pulpit mention that there are certain things that God hates. For some people, it might seem contradictory that the only wise, true, and living God, the creator of all things, can love certain things as well as hate certain things. He can. And he has revealed seven of them. Ready? These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So what are seven things that God despises? Ready? A proud look. Pride. Secondly, a lying tongue. Well, that lying tongue goes all the way back to the word froward that's used twice in verses 12 to 15. A lying tongue. So how many politicians then does God despise? When they campaigned and promised you pie in the sky, and yet when they get in office, they forget the people who put them there. What else says here? Hands that shed innocent blood. Well, think of the abortion clinics. Think of the boyfriends and the parents who pressure the girl, the daughter or the girlfriend, to go get rid of the baby because it's an inconvenience. Think about armies that have marched across the globe, killing innocent people for no reason, just for the sheer terror and love of it. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Think of Hollywood. Think of some of the movies that are now coming off. Think of a Disneyland and all the wicked imaginations. And think of the stuff going on in many public schools today, even down at the level of a kindergarten or even a first grade level. Some of the books that can be found in a school library would make most parents blush if they have any blush left into them. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. Think of people who go on the witness stand, swear to tell the truth, but then they perjure themselves in the end. And he that soweth discourse among brethren. And beloved, this church has seen their fair share. Yeah. Quiet. Yeah. Why? Well, they're too proud to be taught anything. In order for you to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to be humbled enough, tender enough, submissive enough to be taught. And then you take what you've been taught, and you go home, and like a Berean, you put it under the microscope of God's Word to determine whether or not you were given the truth. Beloved, the Apostle Paul was not offended that the Bereans took whatever he gave them, went back, got the scrolls in the local synagogue, and put Paul's words, Paul's teaching, under the microscope of God's Word. And if you're too lazy to do that, but you're going to sit in church and blow a gasket, you're not a disciple. You're just putting time in to get your attendance star. That's all. That's all that you're doing. You're wasting the pastor's time. You're wasting your own time. And because of your cruddy attitude, you're wasting the you're also wasting the time of the church. You might as well stay home, watch TV, church, and be happy. So those are seven things that God despises. Well, may God rescue us from all seven. May his word forever be praised. Amen.